Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're with a very special guest this weekend, Lori Johnson. Lori Johnson is an accomplished medium, amongst many other things I'll let her talk about a little bit, that has spent time on Ghosts of Shepherdstown and Destination America. Welcome, Lori. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's not that often I get a chance to talk to you, and I'm one of the people, so that the listeners can say, that was very impressed. I've only spoke to Lori a couple of times, but she got some very accurate things on the last conversation I had with her, and it was an amazing experience. So I appreciate you taking the time, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about what got you into the paranormal.
Well, I was actually born gifted. There's 10 kids, 7 boys, 3 girls. My mother's gifted. I did not know she was gifted until I was in my 30s. And then it really came out when my father had passed. My mother had stayed with me about a couple years after my dad had passed over. And we were sitting at the table, and I'm at the wall, and she's in front of me. And we're sitting there talking about my dad. And all of a sudden, all these people started popping through. I mean, I've seen spirit before. I remember being 6 years old when I seen through walls, hearing, telepathically speak into the dead. I remember being 2 and crawling. I was less than 2 because I was still in the diaper, and I was crawling, and I always had this not a big man, but a medium build man with a belly, kind of balding a little bit. And it took my dad 30 years to show me a picture of his father. And he's 100% Cherokee Indian. And my dad, I remember my dad telling stories about his dad, how he would be at home and all of a sudden he would just go out into a stare. And I find myself doing that too, but going into a stare, and he would look at my grandmother and say, "Well, Elizabeth, Lawrence is dead, and that's his brother." And she goes, "Oh, George, be quiet." And 15 minutes later, there was a phone call. They had found Lawrence passed. And then my dad saying that he remembers his dad saying how he died, where he died, when he died, and then going to bed that night and waking up. And, you know, my granddad had coal black hair, and he woke up with all white hair when he had woke up. And that's basically what happened to my dad. Probably, I don't know what age it was, because my dad says he was a teenager when it happened.
Wow.
I've had a lot of paranormal, but because I'm not a Bible basher, but I did go to church a lot. And I lived in Texas, Houston, Austin, and Galveston. And, you know, my father believed in church and the faith and what the Bible it states, you know, and my dad knew there was something special about him as well, but we were never raised that way. So it was kind of hard to see the things that I did and go through the things that I've did all my entire life and then realize I don't want to say it's special, because we're all special. All of us are special. All of us are created in the image of God. I do believe in God. I believe in Christ. I have faith, not religion, because religion separates you from me. So I see everyone as one. No one's less or more than each other. And that's the way I was all my life. Even when you treated me badly, I still forgave you and loved you. So, I mean, I'm still that way, but I'm a redhead and learned, you know, I was very shy when I was young. I mean, if you met me 20 years ago, you would say, that's not Lori today, you know, but I've learned, you know, to speak up through 2 marriages and kids. So.
Well, it's got to be a tough road, but I can understand a little bit. I mean, you go through a lot of things in life, and of course you have an additional gift on top of that. So that makes it a little bit tougher. You have to learn to, I guess, have that happy medium, if that makes sense.
Well, it's, you know, I always remember I was very abused when I was young, and no alls, you know, it how I became who I am today, because it wasn't the person that was doing it. It was how it was happening to teach me. You know, I always had angels around me, always. And I always saw the light. It was always gold. I love yellow since I was two, my mother said. And yellow is gold to me. So, I mean, being abused, you know, and learning not to take personal to what was happening to me, but it happening for whatever gift I had, it was teaching me to be more stronger, but it was also teaching me we all have to learn to forgive our past and not claim it, because when we're claiming it, you know, we're becoming it. And the more you're hating something that happened when you were younger, you've brought it in your adulthood and you're still lacking thereof of moving forward. And that person that did that to you is, you know, smiling all the way. And when we give that energy to that person where we should be giving it to ourselves, they'll never learn to reap their own karma. So I'm a very, they always called me a younger, a poetic spiritual person. So, I mean, I never took anything personal. I mean, me being a shaman healer and a medical intuitive, a animal communicator, I mean, I read everything. I can read the chair that you're sitting in. I can see, I can feel you. I can live the person's life to tell what you're not paying attention to where you can make it better. I'm not a negative Nelly. I don't believe in giving someone something negative, but I turn it around to make it better.
You know, I have a lot of respect for you because of that. And you're very honest in what you do. You're very upfront about it. You try to express only what you feel in a lot of situations. And in that in itself is rough. But in a world that and I know I've had a brief conversation with you about this before, but in the world that you live in, now that you've been on television a little bit more, it's tough to deal with the public and help and still be yourself.
That's not true. Yeah, but that's not true because, you know, it's kind of weird. You know, a lot, I grew up, I've never been to a concert in my life. I've never gone to a party. I was 21 when I had a taste of wine. And you know, I didn't have all that in my life. I mean, I was basically a shut-in. My father, I raised my siblings while my father was truck driving or a mechanic, and my mom dealing with the things that she dealt with. And then, of course, it's a long story. But anyways, you'll read it in my bio. But, I mean, I never had all that. So when I became, you know, when I lived in Shepherdstown, let's just begin the story. I lived in Shepherdstown on the street where all the activities started. I mean, I would sit on my porch at 9, 10 o'clock at night and see 1500 people with no road there. It was just gravel or it was dirt, or there was lakes where there is no lakes anymore. It was like I was in their time. And I would see these women in the bonnets, and there was half the buildings that were there now or were not there. I mean, the people would come to me. I had military men in my, I have on, in my photos, you can look at my videos. And I was sitting in my backyard with a paranormal team that I had actually started. And we were recording, and I had this male, a thin male, military. He was dressed in, I think it was red, the red color. And he walked up to me and he goes, sir, can you help me? And he had blood all over him. He had a bandage over his head. His boot looked like it was, his foot looked like it's been blown off. And I said, and I mentally talked to him and told him, calm down. You're in my time. You have passed. So I don't just talk. I give them that soothing energy, because you've got to remember everything is energy. So when you're given emotions and commotion and disrespect, you're creating something that's not there yet, but you're giving it energy. So I kept giving him the energy of love. He was protected. And I said, he said, I can't find my men. I can't find my men. And he showed me what happened. And then I showed him, I said, I seen Blue Cross, the Blue Cross, you know, the Blue Cross tents that they had back in the day when the war had started in Shepherdstown, Gettysburg, Harper's Ferry, all that. And I sent him to back to his tent to get help. But he wasn't alive. He died. He died on the spot. But I mean, I remember going to Gettysburg the very first time ever. And that was like, I think it was like 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago. And I'm walking and all of a sudden we're almost at the bridge. And all of a sudden somebody says, well, what are you getting, Lori? And I said, I have a spirit that won't shut up in my right ear. And he's telling me there's going to be a guy named Jane. What is it? It was Jane. A guy named Jane, J-A-N, another guy, big guy. They were showing me everything. It was like premonition, showing me everything. And they're like, oh, we're going to see this. And we went on the bridge, and they told me that these guys are troublemakers. They're stoned, and they're going to cause a fight. There's going to be a fight. Keep yourself protected. And I said, okay, well, thank you very much for showing me this. I was asking them. I'm very in detail. Did it happen already, or is it going to happen? And they just said, move along and find out yourself. And I'm like, okay. So at the time, I didn't know it was a premonition. And I'm walking, and I told the person that I was with at the time what they were showing me, what was getting ready to happen. They're going to walk up to me. They're going to find out that I'm a psychic medium. They're going to get, and I'm the one that's going to calm them all down. And they say, oh, you know what? You're crazy. I believe in psychics. I don't believe. I mean, you've got these skeptics in this team that I was with. And I swear to the good Lord, 10 minutes after we had walked on that bridge, the guys came up. They said, well, are y'all hunting for spirits and your ghosts? And I said, they're not ghosts, they're souls. If they're not demons, you know, they have no star where the heart would be. And I was explaining to them what I saw. And they said, that is the most coolest thing ever. And I said, can I ask you something? He goes, yeah. I said, is your name Jan or Jane? He goes, oh my God, nobody knows that. They call me Jay, but it's Jan. It's Jan. And he says, and I always ask my mom, what was that name for? And I was named after my grandfather. And it was crazy. It was almost like I was living what was already lived. So anyways, going back to the Shepherdstown, I was sitting on my porch. I'm all over the place. Sorry, I've got spirit coming in because I can see everybody listening. And I'm sitting on the porch. And then my cousin, I hadn't seen in 23 and a half years, her brother calls me and says, Lori, can you take Patricia in? And I said, of course, she's like a mama to me. She's my cousin, but I still see her as, you know, someone that was there as a parent should have been. And I said, yeah, she can come. She came to me and she lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and she was homeless. She was strung out on drugs and alcohol, and she needed cleaning up. And when she had gone to I guess it was a park where you can go to the bathroom at, where the water is, and somebody came in after her and slit her throat and raped her. So she needed a way out. So I told her, I said, well, she can come here. I always, you know, I love her. And she came to me in three. I have a radio show. It's called Whispers from Heaven. And I started my first show, and it was November 18th, and I was getting ready to start, and she was getting ready to walk out. And I knew she was a drinker, but I didn't allow it in my house. So I wasn't stopping it, but I was, you know, limiting it. And I said, she says, well, sis, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to go take a drink. Or no, she says, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to go take a walk. I said, well, it's cold outside. Don't leave the house. Something just kept telling me, tell her not to leave the house. And I said, don't leave the house. And she goes, okay. Half an hour later, I feel this soul come right through me, screamed. I heard a horn. And then I had a gentleman that I took care of with MS on the in the other room on the computer. And he goes, I just got an alert that somebody just got hit by a train up here at the corner. And I stood up, and everybody, you can hear her screaming in my show. She screamed. Wow. And she came right through me, and I'm still, when I tell my stories, I live it again. And I knew it was her. I said, it's Patricia. It's her. She got hit. She's dead. And I said, guys, I've got to go. Amelia had taken over. And I had gone up there and I saw them rolling her off the tracks down into the basket. And I knew it was her. I knew it was her. So if you watch The Ghost of Shepherdstown on the one episode, I think it was season two. I'm not sure on the which episode it was, where Nick and Bill and Elizabeth were up on the train tracks and they saw a figure on the rock or by the rock. That was Patricia. I never knew that they were doing it because my deal was, you know, I don't want to know where you are, where you're going, because I can remote review. I could tell you what your house looks like. So I'm there before anything. So I told him I've always had to stay in a total distance from the whole entire, you know, production itself. And I never knew that they did that. And then I had somebody had told me, you know, this is really cool about this person they found on the tracks. And the first thing that popped in my head was Patricia, my cousin that was killed on the tracks. And I watched that episode and y'all saw the stick. I saw her. So. I mean, I'm gifted. My cousin Patricia, you know, of course it's in the blood. My father's father was a shaman. My father was a shaman, and my father, Patricia's father, was my father's brother. So, I mean, it does flow in the blood. I'm sure. I'm not sure. I don't do that to, you know, because you have it, I'll have it. You know. But I believe that woke up all that activity in the Shepherdstown.
That's an amazing story, though. It's touching to a point, and sad, of course, obviously, when you lose anybody that you care about. But it's an amazing story. I appreciate you sharing it a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about. I know you mentioned now a couple of times how you help people. And that was probably very complicated in the show from time to time, like you said, because you can't be at the locations, but you still have to kind of be a part of it. But let's get into a little bit more detail on that and what you do and how you do it. And let's just talk about what you want to talk about. I guess that's the easiest route. This show is all about the guests, so I'm a little bit different than most shows.
I like that because you're actually keeping me on track because I am so wide open. I mean, I'm reading you. You have a father figure behind you. So I'm kind of glad that there's questions because it keeps me on that because I'm so open, you know, and I have a role with the souls. They come to me 3 to 7 days before a person will come to me because I tell them, I cannot help you. I will not go find them. You'll have to send them to me if it's meant to be. I have walked up to people because I'm out in a restaurant and I'm sitting, I'm eating, and there's a party of women and two guys in a steakhouse one time, and their mother is sitting on the corner, left side of the bench, and she keeps, woo-hoo, hoo-hoo, come here. Come here. Can you really talk to her? I know you see me. I mean, it's like, can I eat my dinner? You know, I mean, so I'm sitting there and the woman would not shut up. And I felt her emotions of love. And that's me. I'm love. I love it. I love knowing our loved ones love us even after they've passed. Because, you know, when they go to the light, they still have the ability of being able to visit whenever they want. They still smell. I mean, I'm very detailed when asking a spirit or a soul, you know, can you still smell? And of course they smell. And, you know, they still take me. If they smoked a cigar, they'll make me smell the cigar or their cologne or their favorite flower. I smell it all. I taste the foods that they liked. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, my world's been crazy all my life. But I was sitting there and I was like, you know what? I've got to do this. And I walked over and I looked at the biggest lady because I wasn't getting my butt kicked. I'm 5'3" and a half. So I walk up and I said, how do you do? My name is Lori Johnson. I said, I apologize for interrupting your party. I said, but do you know what a psychic medium is? And she goes, oh, my God. I said, ma'am, I said, your mom won't be quiet. She told me she was your mom. She's a big lady. I told them what she looked like. And every one of them started crying. She goes, it's my birthday. And that's what I wanted. I wanted my mom, and you just gave me the best birthday gift ever in my life. And I mean, to me, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to be what I do. I mean, to me, I'm very grateful that I'm trusted with all these gifts. I call myself a freak of nature. I don't want to be called, well, it is what it is. We are human, but a psychic medium, because I mean, a clairvoyant, a telepathic, I mean, I'm a freak of nature.
Well, I know you joke around about it being a freak of nature, but I actually think you're the evolution of nature, more or less, to speak. I mean, the mind is such a wonderful place, and some people are able to unlock many, many gifts that the average person can't. And of course, I look at it differently than most people. I look at it as you're just a little bit further along than most of us.
Well, I mentor on Facebook, I have, and also off on Skype, phone. I don't need to see you personally, but because a lot of people need one-on-one, I do it, you know, Skype, Messenger, and I mentor, and I teach my students. It's not what you have, and no one's better than you or less than you. It's a different job that you were created to do. That's all it is.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So,
you know, that actually makes perfect sense. And when I know I've told you my background, I spent a lot of time in marketing and teaching people how to motivate themselves, self-goal orientation. And of course, I've had struggles with that myself throughout my life, which is how I can teach it so well. But I tend to discuss that with everybody that has ever been in a class that I've done the same way. I mean, you are your own destiny in a lot of ways. You're no better or no worse than anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, you just have to learn how to utilize your gifts and apply that in a way where you can feel comfortable succeeding.
Absolutely. That's right. And I'm being told, and forgive me for this, because I don't know if you want to be read or not, but there's a woman with short curly hair. It goes a little bit past the shoulders. She says that you should have been a dentist. I mean, this woman's making me feel like you should have been a dentist. So I don't know if that's what you talked about when you were young, but
you know, I can't remember. When I was young, I was, it's kind of silly, but, and I usually don't tell everybody this, but the listeners will get a kick out of it. When I was young, I was kind of a geek. So I spent a lot of time in books and concentrating on science fiction and doing what the average person wouldn't do.
Well, I'm one of those geeks because I love to read. The more I could read, it was always like I was my best friend, and I heard the voices. And I kept saying, the more knowledge that I could feed my brain, the more better person I could be to understand other people. You know, I'd rather read you, your aura, your energy around you, than hear what you have to say, because I work with the missing file cases, police, sheriffs, FBI before. I mean, I've worked with a lot of people finding runaways, murder cases that were 56 years ago. You know, I do the remote review to live that person's life. So I don't want to hear your opinion about it, because everybody has an opinion. I want to read the energies, your energies, truth. So I seek the truth. And that's how I do what I do with my mentoring, my readings, my healings. I mean, if you find my couple of my groups I've created like 10 years ago, you know, I started out because everybody has self-worth, self-love. Self-worth is to the point where I don't think I'm going to be good enough. Oh, my God, I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong. I stopped that. I stopped doing that. And I said, you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to give what is given. And then go off of that. So that way I'm speaking for that person that had passed. And then, you know, the shamanism it's the shamanism, but more medical intuitive, to where I can smell cancer in a person even before it even gets to a point where it's going to hurt you or start growing. It's crazy. I see right through the body. I mean, I've had a medium say, oh my God, don't ever tell anybody that, you're going to sound like a freak. Hello, I am. I mean, 10 kids, both parents. I'm the only redhead with green eyes. Everybody else had dirty blonde hair, coal black hair, or dark auburn. I'm the only fire red hair with green eyes.
You know, that's actually an interesting subject that I think a lot of listeners don't know about, with shamanism and a lot of special gifts. And I can respect that, actually, because I had the great privilege a long time ago of meeting an American Indian that was a shaman. And he actually changed my way of thinking for a while when it came to eating and so forth, because I had really bad ulcers. I still have problems with it today from time to time. But he walked up to me, and nobody had known it at the time, and he put his hand right on my stomach, and he said, you know, the reason those ulcers are there is because you're drinking, you're eating the wrong foods, and you need to stop it.
But it's also, but yeah, but the thing is I'm more in depth. I to the point where, you know, it's not just our eating habits. It's how we start feeling about ourselves. If you're stressed out, you're depressed, it can cause all kinds of stuff. Depression is a number one killer. It's a number one killer. That's why anybody that comes to me, I will do what I have to show them their worth. You know, you might be talking to me, but I channel through your angels, your guardians, your loved ones that have passed over.
Well, no, it makes sense. You are right. Depression is something that I think everybody in the world deals with at one point or another, and it can really cause some serious issues emotionally and physically on the body. So that makes perfect sense, actually. I'm going to take a brief pause here, listeners. You're listening to BBS Radio. Just so that you know, BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations in the United States of America. So I do encourage you, if you're thinking about a podcast, radio show, or so forth on the internet, go with the best. Go with BBS. Donald and his brother are excellent people. They do a wonderful job for you. A little bit of basic brief news, just so that everybody is aware. A friend of mine and a colleague and associate, Joel Myers from GhostSite.com, is working very diligently, though behind, on a site that's going to compete with GhostStop and a lot of other things. So if you're interested in ghost equipment and so forth, the site should launch before the end of December. There's going to be at least 100, if not 200 or 300 different types of devices at some very good rates. So I do encourage you to take a look at that. Paranormal Truth and Reality will be going on the road next year. I will talk about that in a little bit more detail once we hit January. We have a book that we're promoting, and we're going to be spending a lot of time at the convention so that we can do some personal interviews and so forth to wrap up Generation Truth's documentary. We have been speaking with Lori Johnson. She is a very, very well-trained and professional psychic medium, shaman. She does a lot of other things as well. And it's been a wonderful show. I'm just going to dive back in, Lori, and let's talk about some of the other gifts. We talked a little bit about what you do when you're reading people, but of course, you can remote view. Very interesting subject. I haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with people remote viewing, though I do have a gentleman that is fairly well known. I won't mention his name yet. That's going to talk about it next year. So let's talk about your remote viewing, some of your writing, and some of the other gifts that you have and how you utilize those.
Well, the shaman, or let's see, the remote review, Asha projecting to the point where I'm standing in front of you. If you take my left, your right hand, and kind of like stretch as far as you can and move towards the other side, I'm actually in front of your other knee. Do you feel a cold draft?
A little bit.
Yeah. How do you do?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, just to let you know, you forgot to brush your hair. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's mind thought. Everything you have, you know, when you're working in the light. I work in the light. I mean, have I ever been faced with negative? Almost definitely all my life. But I learn off of the negative that I learned. I kind of like push that under, and then I bring in the light. So when I'm doing, I actually throw my thought, or I feel like, you know, I've seen myself walk out of my body before, and I can see her walking down the street and telling me, come on, it's time to go, let's go. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I mean, I argue with myself a lot, trust me, even my angel. So, you know, that picture that's out there with the angel, her hands on her forehead. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. They do that a lot with me. I am most definitely a stubborn woman. Let's see. You've got to ask the question to that, because I really don't like talking about myself. So ask the question in the way of you would want to explain, if that makes sense.
Well, let's do an approach that I'm sure a lot of listeners are going to want to hear, because curiosity kills the cat with the paranormal. You and I both know that there's a lot of positive things out there once you get into it. There's a lot of things you can do that are positive. There's a lot of people that have passed on you can help, and a lot of people that haven't passed on yet that need help. But most people concentrate on the more negative aspects. So let's talk a little bit about have you ran into negative energy, negative situations, and how does that appear to you?
Well, for instance, I'm going to tell you the first time that I was faced with negativity. I was 6 years old. I was living in Houston, Texas. We became friends with a family of four boys and one girl in church, and my dad and mom had gotten real close to the parents, and they would go out and, you know, have breakfast, or they'd have dinner or something of that matter. And one day they had moved into a Victorian house, and it was like, I would say, about two blocks away from our house. And one night my mom had received a phone call, and I could hear, no matter what it is, I can feel the fright or the scaredness or the sadness. I could feel it before it even gets there. And I'm sitting up, and I'm listening, but not hearing. I'm listening, if that makes sense, to what was going on. And my mom had gotten off the phone, and she go, my dad's name is William, but they called him Bill or Pop. And she goes, William, Dorothy just called and said that would you go and talk to Stan. I'm only going to say the first names, Stan. And he goes, well, what's going on? And my mom has told him that Dorothy had told her that at 12 o'clock at night, Stan would get up on the steeple of the front of the house with a shotgun, sitting like a gargoyle, and having all of them, the children and her, circling in front of the house. And if they stopped, he would try to shoot them. He would shoot at them.
Wow.
Well, my dad picked him up, and of course I'm daddy's girl, and I was never allowed to sit with them, but I always sat behind my dad, and I would hear my dad saying, Stan, do you know your own reality? And he would say, and you could tell it wasn't Stan. And he had like this, what are you talking about, Bill? I mean, it was like, just like that. And my dad said, Stan, I know you're there. And every day for almost about 3 weeks, he would pick up Stan, and we would go to the like a pancake house back in the day. And my dad finally grabbed Stan's hand, and it was in front of him, so it would be the left. And he said, Stan, do you know that you love your children? And all of a sudden, I saw a tear in Stan's eyes. It wasn't Stan's face. It was something like a rubber gray mask would look on his face. That's what I saw in his face. And his eyes were red. They weren't black. They were red. There was no pupil. It was red. And dad says, Stan, do you know you love your children? And I saw a tear. He says, Stan, do you know that you're a good man and that you have the grace of God in you? And my dad took his left hand and put it on Stan's forehead and says, God does forgive you and he loves you. Now release whatever's within you and get out. I mean, it was so in detail. I mean, it's like 6 years old, and I'm an older woman. I can still remember as if it was yesterday. And all of a sudden, Stan just started crying. His color got back. I mean, he was like, oh my God, what is going on? Well, they ended up moving out of the house, and my brother, Michael, my brother, Kelly, myself, two of the boys, two of the boys, Daniel and David, or no, Daniel, it was David and Dwayne, walked up to the house. We were going it was like an alley through the, where the house was. When we came up to the back and the boys ran ahead of me, all of a sudden I heard this voice. Hey, hey, can you hear me? And I'm saying, well, where are you? He says, I'm right here. Get something and stand up. And it was it was an old outhouse, and he turned it into a shed. And I got something, and I stood on it, and I looked in the mirror, in the window, and there was nothing in there. And all of a sudden, three cots started forming in there. and there was three men laying on the cots, and you could tell they were military, but they had no shirts on. They only had their pants and their real high tied up boots. And the one in the middle sat up, and his body never moved, but his head turned to me. He says, "You can hear me, can't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "You're not afraid, are you?" I said, "No, for what? I'm not afraid of nothing." I said, I love God. I'm 6 years old. I mean, you know, that's how my mentality was six. And I said, "I'm not afraid of you." And he goes, "Do you know what happened to me?" And I said, "No." And he pulled me out of my own thought into his, what happened to him. And they were killed. And because there was no place of burying the military men, they actually were piling them in a huge a grave, and they were piling the bodies up and burning them. And he made me smell the flesh burning.
Wow.
And then I said, "Well, I've got to go." And he said, "Well, we'll be seeing each other again." I said, "Okay." And I got down, and I'm walking up, and all of a sudden, all of us got into almost like a half of a moon circle. And we all picked up a rock, and every single one of us threw it at the top part of the window, you know, the attic window that would always be in the back. And our rock hit that window perfectly. And all of a sudden, our rocks broke the glass, and you heard a boom. And the devil's face came right out and went right in our face. And we all looked at each other and said, "Damn the devil to hell." And it disappeared. And all of a sudden, I started crying, and I seen souls. They were white. I mean, real, real white. And I saw them coming out of that house. "Thanks. Thank you. You saved us. Thank you." It was crazy. So I started walking up to the back of the house. And back in the day, you know, it was in the 60s, they were just putting bathrooms in those homes. So the bathroom was kind of like bumped out of the house. So I heard this lady, "Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" And I walked up to the back of the house, and I see through the wall. I saw through it, and this lady sitting on the commode, she's huge, big lady, curlers in her hair, and she goes, "Help me, help me." I said, well you have to pull your pants up and go out of the bathroom. And all of a sudden, she says, "I can't." And I saw smoke coming underneath the door, and she fell over, and she died of smoke. And that freaked me out more than the devil's face did. So, I mean, I've dealt with good. I've dealt with bad. I've dealt with more. When I don't sleep, it's like a meditated sleep to where I can still hear and I can still see even through my lids. It's crazy. And I'm laying, you know, I mean, I've been pulled into wars. I've been pulled into one time I was actually pulled into the day that Christ was crucified, and I'm this huge tall huge man, and I could see him as me, but it was him. And I was begging Christ to forgive me because I always followed him, but I never announced that I loved him, and I wanted him to know I loved him. And he says, "I forgive you, my son." He says, "Now lift me up and take me to my resting area." And I picked him. Well, actually, the left hand of my palm, I pulled out the cast iron out of his hands. One was behind the thorn around his head, and his feet. Well, both of them were together. But anyways, I pulled it out and I lifted him up. And he was really, really a big man. He was 7'7", and he was 36 years old. And I picked him up, put him over my shoulder. I walked down the knoll. I pushed aside the stone, and I walked him in, and I held his head and lifted him over in my arms, laid him down, and I lifted a cloth off my hair, and I laid it under his head, and I was crying, and I'm walking out, and he says, he lifts his body up, and he says, "Now put my cloth down and roll my stone. We'll see each other again." I mean, it was very lifelike. A lot, you know, Dr. Kennedy, I don't know, Chuck Kennedy, I don't know if you've ever met him. He wants to do experiments on me on when I do out of body. It's crazy. I mean, my life has been crazy all my entire life. It's very crazy.
Sounds like it's been an interesting, interesting life for you. Of course, that also comes with the interesting stories, and I think you can carry that on, hopefully somewhere along the line to the next generation, and teach. I'm all about that. If you haven't learned from paying attention to what I do, I teach to the next generation, because most of my background has been following everybody else in the educational fields, university fields, and just kind of digging in. I'm like, I'll pick your brain forever. One of these days I'll call you or we'll talk or something, and you'll find I'm picking your brain on everything just because I love to learn.
I'm the same way. And my favorite in the paranormal field is skeptics. Skeptics are actually more open than those that are accepting. And I love that, because to me, I'm still a skeptic. I mean, I could walk by a psychic or a medium or a palm reader or tarot card reader. Nope, you're a street reader. Nope, you're fake. Nope. I mean, I'm not judging them, but I do not like anyone being taken advantage of. And there's so many people doing it in today's society because people are mourning their loved ones, and it's sad. It drives me crazy. And that's why I do what I do. I pay it forward. I appreciate what I have. I earned what I have, because even though we're born with it, doesn't mean that we should be able to, because it's free. It's not free. It's the life that you go through to of the acceptance. And you know, it took me a long time before I started charging for readings or mentoring or anything. I mean, for 20 years, I just gave it away. I mean, if you came to me, I did what I was supposed to do. And then all of a sudden I prayed and I said, did I do something wrong? Am I evil? Am I a bad person? Did I do something bad? And they started laughing at me, and they said, you know, the human vocabulary, they laugh at it. It's seven. They call themselves seven higher powers. And because I still deal with a little bit of self-worth, it's the seven archangels. And I work with them, and I've seen them, and they're beautiful. Not just in the wings that everybody pertains them to, is as the beings that they are. And you know, I've seen them, and they laugh at the vocabulary of humans, because we put words in a way if you did something bad, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't watching what I'm doing. You know, we put it in a way to justify our actions, and they laugh at it. They think it's hilarious. So when I first started channeling and started talking, numbers and signs started throwing at me, and I could hear what they were saying. I knew everything. I mean, I have so much memoir of the things that I've gone through. It's crazy, but it's not crazy bad. It's crazy good. You know, in all my life, I was always the outcast. I was always not fitting in, you know, and I have a trust issue, because I could see your truth, but do I judge you? No, but do I, it's shame on me the first time, or shame on you the first time, shame on me the second. So, I mean, I do give people chances, but there are so many people being taken advantage of. It's disgusting. I mean, I have paranormal teams calling me all the time. Hey, Lori, I have this case. Can you help me out with a remote? And of course, I've had people in London. I've had people in Africa. I've had people in Iran. I mean, everywhere, Asia, everywhere. I've done remote reviewing and helped them out. And they're like, wow, you freaked me out. I said, oh, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? Yeah. So,
well, I can honestly say I am a skeptic of most mediums. Most listeners here know this. I've only met two in my life that I actually have impressed me, you being one of them. And the first time we spoke, it was through a friend of mine. You knew absolutely nothing about me. I was in a room of about four people, but you released a burden that carried on me for almost 15 years.
Can I say that?
Without even knowing it.
You brought them through. Again, they're staring at me. So now I remember you. I mean, I don't remember anything that comes through, because to me, it makes me feel as if I'm a peeping Tom and I have a life to live of my own. So I don't write anything down unless you're my student, but I don't write anything down. I don't really remember anything. And if you come back to me and it's meant to be to come forward, then so be it. But I do not remember any of my readings. So now I do remember you, because now your eyes are showing, you know, batting at me, but... Yeah, he's been staring at me.
Yeah, it was a amazing experience. I had that burden in my life for quite a number of years. I didn't speak to very many people about it, and you addressed it without knowing anything about me. And by the way, I can attest to the remote viewing, because at the time my house was an absolute wreck, and you literally went right into a room and said, "By the way, you need to clean this up." But it was an amazing experience. So I do encourage listeners to actually spend a little bit of time finding out who you are, contact you if necessary when you're comfortable with speaking to them, because I don't say that often, but I'm very impressed by your work, Laura. You do a wonderful job.
Well, I'm honored. You know, it's funny that you said I told you to clean up your mess. That wasn't me. I have OCD in cleaning. I don't know why, but germs and clean, everything's got to have a place. So.
I've always been a little bit of a sloppy guy, but I managed to clean it, and I did a full overhaul in my house in the past year, because it was driving me nuts. It was entirely too much.
I see that you've done a lot of work, but that still the back room and the on if you come in, you go around towards the right in that back area. It's still a little messy, but it's good. You did a good job.
Yeah, I moved the kid into that room and then moved my office into a separate room. So she's still got a total wreck in her room that we got to clean up.
She's a baby. Let her enjoy life. And just to let you know, your left knee is kicking my butt. So whatever pain you have, I have it 10 times fold.
Ah, that's my old arthritis. I got into a car accident a long time ago, and I still deal with an incredible amount of pain. In fact, I have a heck of a time sleeping from time to time, but I've learned to deal with it throughout the years.
Well, your healers are coming forward, and they said if you put a pillow underneath it and some kind of a vibration underneath the kneecap, it can actually, you have a lot of swelling up at the top part, but it's kind of dry a little bit where the kneecap and underneath is, and you have a knot on my right, your left side of it. No, let's see. So it would be your left knee on the right side. Yeah, the right side of it. So, I mean, I can see everything to the point where if you want to be helped with comfort, that's what I am. That's what I aim for. Put the pillow, roll the pillow, get a round pillow, put it underneath there when you sleep, and you'll be fine.
Amazing. Well, let's take a few moments for the listeners. I know we're down in our last 5 minutes or so for you to tell us how we can find you, what you may be doing in the future, so that if you're any cons, conventions, or so forth, they can find you there, and a little bit about how they can research you.
Okay. My website is www.psychicloriejohnson.com. You can contact me through my email at psychiclorij@aol.com. You can actually follow me on my timeline. It's under Psychic Lori. Well, it's under Lori Johnson, but you'll see it says Psychic Medium Lori Johnson. And I do a lot of pay it forward. So I do, what that means is I'll go live and I'll give you, one question reading, a mini read free. I don't charge you. The Paracons are coming up. I have one in New York. I think that's February, and then one in Maine. And I think that's in June.
Wonderful. Actually, I think I got tickets to the one in New York, I do believe. So you might see me there.
That's awesome. It would be great to meet you. Give a face to the face that I see.
Yeah, it's always fun to actually. I talk to a lot of people on Facebook and over the internet and on the phone from time to time, but it's always good to meet everybody in person and shake hands and say, "Hey, you know, I'm glad I actually got a chance to see you."
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to put the I guess the voice to the soul that I see in here.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably an incredible experience for you, because you've already got a picture, an image of the person, but to be able to put it together and go, okay, I get the pieces that I miss now. I can see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's an honor to me. And, you know, I do want to address, a lot of people say, well, do you get names? To me, it's personal, because if I get a name, I start living that person's life. And if they had died in a car accident, drowning, a bike accident, I start living all that and I feel it. But sometimes if you're being stubborn, well, that's not good enough. You know, we get them all the time. Can you give me a name? A name will come through. So
that's actually cool, though, because it gives affirmation to the person that's a little bit skeptical and wants that affirmation. And if you can do that alone, a lot of times you've made a difference.
Yeah, but in my case, and not being rude, but I could tell you what you're wearing. I could tell you what you look like. I could tell you where your scars are. I mean, how detailed do you need other than the name? I mean, that's being kind of petty. But in a way, I do understand.
Well, listeners, you've been listening to BBS Radio. Again, BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States of America. Make sure to look them up in the future. Spend some time with them and all of their affiliates. Donald and his team have worked very, very hard in making BBS very strong. I do encourage you to follow along with not only Paranormal Truth and Reality, but a lot of the radio shows that are on here. Wonderful, wonderful people. Next week, we're actually going to have another special guest. They have asked me not to release their name this week, but to release their name in advertisement, so I'm going to honor that. I do encourage you to tune in, though. It's going to be a wonderful show. I'm going to end this the way I do every single week. Listeners, as you're learning in the paranormal, there's a lot of things to learn, a lot of different aspects, and a lot of things that at first you may be skeptical about. But take the time to dig in a little bit. Take the time to learn the people. Take the time to get the information. Take the time to get the education. And take the time to spend with people like Lori asking the questions. You'd be amazed at what you can find. We will talk to you next week. I almost lost my voice there. I apologize, listeners. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your weekend and have a good night.